Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So on Friday, I called Gyla for her wisdom and said, "Do you think people will be upset if I call an audible and postpone the instructive Eucharist? Because I'm feeling really led to preach about what happened this past week." And she said, "No, I don't think they'll be upset, but tell them to have Kleenex nearby." So there should be Kleenexes in every pews. I've got a couple up here for myself. I always get choked up in the hymn, "Gather us in," the very last verse, "Gather us in and hold us forever." That always, always gets me. So I'm already feeling tender-hearted here. So much has happened in this last week. Just a week ago, at this very time, we were finishing up our sermon series on Holy Communion. We ate at Jesus' table, where he gave himself to us as food for the journey, so that we could be sent out to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Kate, with her hand held high, helped me to bless all of you with the table blessing and the benediction, right? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. We had no idea how much we would need that strength this week. And then the blessing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. We didn't know how much we would need that blessing, that the God who journeys with us would be upon us, that it would be upon Kate, the one who was blessing us. So for those of you that don't know, Kate had a really bad fall at the park this week. She fell from several feet high, flat on her back, hitting her head, and was unconscious for a couple of minutes. Her injuries were believed to be much worse than they are, but for several agonizing hours, we didn't know that. But thankfully, she is home, she is at church, she is doing well while she recovers. And then, as we are learning more and more about the absolute devastation in Western North Carolina caused by Hurricane Helene, the pictures and the stories and the lives behind those that are affected, it's absolutely devastating and heartbreaking. Two-ish hours west of us, people's lives have absolutely changed forever. And here we are, going grocery shopping, going to church, watching football, washing our dishes and laundry. It's hard to wrap our minds around. This week has made me feel like I used to feel when I was a hospital chaplain. I would accompany individuals and families through some of the worst moments of their lives. And then when my shift was over, I'd walk out of the hospital doors into the fresh air of a new morning, and the world kept moving as if nothing had happened and as if nothing had changed. And yet, for those that I had been with, who had endured the unthinkable, everything had changed. That's why I decided to postpone the instructive Eucharist until next Sunday, because too much has happened this week to go on as if nothing has. This is the fourth draft of my sermon. I went a lot of different directions with this, but where I finally landed, I want to share with you the testimony of two little lambs in our flock here at Holly Grove. On Tuesday night, I was sitting at my desk at home doing some work, and I began to hear thunder. I immediately thought of Brantley. You all know that Brantley's superpower is autism, but sometimes that means that sensory things are harder for him, because he hears and feels things on a deeper level than all of us. And one of those things is thunder. His whole life, he has been incredibly scared of thunder, April has shared with me that in the past he gets so scared that he shakes and he wears his headphones, and still he is unconsolable. So this past Tuesday, when I heard the thunder, I sent April a message and asked her to tell Brantley that I was praying for him and that I was asking Jesus to give him comfort and peace. And she responded, "I will." And he has made sure to tell me several times that it's okay, Mommy. Not scary, because it's Jesus. You see, during the last thunderstorm we had, April told Brantley that her nanny had told her when she was a little girl that thunder was Jesus moving furniture around. And Brantley takes everything quite literally. So literally that the next time it thundered, this past Tuesday, something that had terrified Brantley his whole life was not scary because it was Jesus. Thunderstorms for Brantley are a dark valley, a scary, stormy valley. But Brantley knows Jesus so intimately and trusts Jesus so deeply that even in the valley, Brantley knows that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is with him, by his side. And because of knowing that, for the first time in his whole life, Brantley didn't even put his headphones on in a thunderstorm. Because of Jesus, Brantley knows Jesus so deeply and trusts him so much that Jesus is able to comfort Brantley's greatest fears. That's the gospel right there. Jesus comforts Brantley's biggest fears. The second testimony of one of our little lambs is Kate. Hearing the news that she had fallen, many of us were devastated. We feared the worst, and we did not want that for her family. You, as the body of Christ, 11 years ago, rallied around them and cared for them and wept with them and supported them in the days and the months and the years after Lauren's death. And the last thing any of us wanted was for something tragic to happen again to this family. This family who has already endured the unimaginable. And I know, in deep love and compassion, I know this, that you pleaded with God on their behalf and on Kate's behalf. And God, whose steadfast love endures forever, whose mercy never comes to an end, answered those prayers. And we could not be more relieved and more thankful. And I want to pause and say here that even if the outcome was different, it wouldn't mean that God didn't hear our prayers or that our prayers didn't work. Quite the opposite. We know the character of God. We know that God is love and compassion and mercy. And we know that even when there is no earthly reason to hope in God, that God is still faithful, that God is still with us, and just like Jesus did with Mary and Martha, that Jesus weeps with us. Brothers and sisters, God hears every single one of your prayers. And God is with us in the deepest, darkest, hardest valleys of our life. Yes, God walks with us, but sometimes life is so hard and we are so worn and weary that sometimes God carries us because we can't go on our own. I know there are times where we think that God is absent, that God has caused the horrible things that have happened to us. And we've all asked God, why didn't you prevent something from happening? I have felt and asked these same questions myself. People in Scripture felt and asked those things. Look at the Psalms. Look at the book of Lamentations. Look at Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing the horrific suffering and brutality that he was about to endure, Jesus was so upset that he was sweating blood, and he pleaded with God to take away the cup. And think about on the cross. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt forsaken by God. And although we know that God did not forsake Jesus and that God was with him, in fact, I imagine that God was weeping bitterly in those moments, watching Jesus endure all of that. But even Jesus felt forsaken, and even Jesus wanted God to take something away. It's human to think and ask those things. But eventually, we remember what we know is the truth about God and God's character, that God is faithful, that God's steadfast love endures forever, that God's mercy never comes to an end. When you are in moments that you can't remember that, when you are in moments that you don't feel that, it's okay. Because your brothers and sisters in Christ have your back. Just like I saw so beautifully this week, I saw you show up and be Jesus for Kate's family. You showed up with your love by surrounding them with prayer. While they were just trying to keep breathing and get through the next minute and the next minute and the next minute, you were praying them through, trusting for them that the Good Shepherd had not abandoned them, trusting that he wasn't just walking with them, that he was carrying them because he knew it was too hard to keep walking on their own. You were faithfully keeping your baptismal promises this week, to pray for and support one another. More than any other church I've ever been a part of, you all take so seriously the fact that we are family, that we are brothers and sisters, and that we show up for each other. I've seen it over and over again, and I know I'll continue to see it over and over again. And so, dear flock, hear me say this morning. I am so proud and so grateful to be your pastor. It is an absolute honor to walk alongside of you by still waters and in the darkest valleys. In life, we will all know pain and suffering, sorrow and affliction. Unfortunately, being a part of God's family, our baptism doesn't make us immune from that. We wish it would, that being a follower of Jesus would somehow take away all of our troubles and all of the bad things that happen to us in this world. So we will all know pain and suffering, sorrow and affliction. But we also know our gracious and loving and compassionate God. And so even when there is no earthly reason to hope, we have hope in God. We have hope that God is with us, that God walks alongside of us, that God weeps with us, that God carries us when we are too weak, too tired, too weary, too worn, too scared. We have hope because God created us, humankind, for relationship, for community. And God has given us that blessed gift in the waters of baptism. Countless brothers and sisters in the family of God to walk alongside of us and bear our burdens with us in Jesus' name. And we have hope. We have hope because we know in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that he defeated death and that death has no power over us. We have hope, dear ones. We have hope that one day Jesus will restore all things. All things. That all things will be made right, and all things will be made new. And when Jesus does, God will swallow up death forever. God will wipe away every tear. Sadness and sorrow and disease and all forms of evil will cease to exist. There will be no more pain, no more heartbreak, no more fear. God will make us and our families whole. Our story, God's story, does not end with death. It ends with life. Life that continues forever into eternity. Life forever in the presence of God, whose light and love will fill the earth, and God's peace and justice will reign forever. Until that day, dear ones, we continue to come to this table to get a foretaste of what God has prepared for us and for all people. We come to receive the hope of this foretaste of the feast to come, when all people will feast together in the kingdom of God. And so we can sing with confidence and assurance and hope. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. God's grace hath brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home.